Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
All right, here we go. Good Thursday morning.
What an open. Sounds very similar to what we had last Thursday.
There's a good chance that I redeem myself. Don't connect you until I come out of the gate flying with the best open you ever heard in your entire life.
You don't have to not connect me. I am more than willing to connect and listen. I'd love that.
Nah, but I know who you are. I proved to the higher-ups that I'm capable of driving a show. Now, all of a sudden, how valuable is Dave Rothenberg? You know what
Drive
I'm saying?
Drive a full show?
No, I didn't say anything about driving a full show. No.
This is DCR.
Would you like to do the full opening next Thursday morning?
No.
On 98.7 ESPN.
You've got a friend in me. All right, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. It's still on the table for you, by the way, if you'd like to do the open next Thursday or any Thursday. Just take the reins and run with it.
No, I'm at the moment, I'm good.
You might change your mind, though.
No, probably not.
It's not the Wednesday that Dave hates.
It is the Thursday.
It is the Thursday.
I open this thing up on a Thursday. I'm going straight. I mean, this is why I said I'm not connecting. I'm going straight. This is the Rick DPA. This is the Delicious D show. And I'm just rolling through.
Have at it. I would sit here, put my feet up on a chair, listen to you. And then if you needed help, I would be there for you.
So by the second segment, I would be, I'd be calling to jump in.
Let's be honest now. Let's be sincere. Do you think you could do a full three-hour show by yourself? I think you could.
I could not.
Truly believe you could.
If I had a bunch of phone calls, I could probably do it. But otherwise, no. It's weird to me just talking into a microphone. Like even when we were doing shows without the Zoom, it was weird just sitting here with the microphone and not seeing you.
And like,
I feel more comfortable. Like we're having an actual conversation because we're looking at each other. I see that handsome face.
There you go.
Get to see your reactions.
That's right. I was fat at one point.
Now you're skinny. Now you look fantastic. Oh, by the way, how's the new treadmill that Sherry had to put together?
I smashed the treadmill through the blind, through the window. You want the truth?
I want the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
I haven't gotten on it yet.
What do you mean you haven't gotten on it yet?
I mean, I'm being honest with you. I haven't gotten on the treadmill yet.
But you got so much. The show ends at 8.
It's not about having the time to do it. It's about I'm very tired during the course of the day. And I can't. I'm one of these people that says, like, okay, 12 o'clock, I'll get on the treadmill. 12 o'clock comes. I'm like, well, I'm a little tired, not feeling great. Well, let me push it back to 2. And all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? I'm too tired for the day. I'll get on tomorrow. And that's happened 4 consecutive days. And here we are on Thursday. And I've yet to get on the treadmill.
Yeah, but how are you punting it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
I can find a way. I'm very capable of finding a way to not get on the treadmill. If avoiding exercise was a master class, I would teach it. Early risers will get work.
That is honestly the why I wake up early to do it, because I would be the same
way. Just to get it done?
Yeah, because if it's not done, I'll find a thousand different things I could be doing instead of going in to do it. Because you're right. I mean, by two to probably close to 5. Like that 3-hour period is when I feel the worst. Like I feel awful in those 3 hours.
It's a rough period. But I mean, you should see this treadmill. By the way, you can pick any route in the country to run through. You can run through your own town. I could run through your town. I could run through New York City. I could do anything.
You grew up here. It's our town.
Well, it's not. I didn't grow up where you. I mean, you grew up.
Now
on
let me ask you a very important question.
Mm-hmm.
If you pick Central Park, does Rick Pitino pop up and run
yes,
with you?
Yes, actually, they do have the Rick Pitino feature where if you're running the reservoir at Central Park, he will just all of a sudden he'll be right next to you. Like good morning. He's like the butler for Mr. Deeds, yes, like you said.
He's very sneaky. Very sneaky.
And good morning. What can I get for you? Yes, exactly. All right. So this is a very strange story, and I want to be careful in discussing it. Another update on Deshaun Watson. There's now a second woman who is claiming that there were allegedly, and I want to make sure that's very clear, sexual advances made towards them and allegations. But this is the most confounding part of the story to me, Rick. Represented, the second woman is, by the same attorney that the first woman is represented by.
Yeah, the whole thing is a little bit odd. And I mean, now apparently in the latest update, there's six total cases.
Oof.
There's been two filed, but there's a total of six cases.
What I don't understand is how you can be the best of friends with Deshaun Watson and say definitively that you know for a fact that he did not do this.
And I don't think you can. And I heard a lot of that yesterday, and I was surprised. Because, you know, having worked with, I mean, you know my injury history. I mean, countless massage therapists and becoming friendly with a lot of them. I mean, stuff like this happens quite a bit. Like I've heard
the guys cross the line of what's appropriate.
Yes, I've heard stories like this way too often. So and I get it. He's got a fantastic reputation. Everybody that knows him says he's a great guy, and they can't imagine that he would do something like this. But I mean, again, you have to wait and let this thing play out. I don't think you can definitively say one way or the other at this point.
Yeah, so here's a quote. I'm real comfortable with the kind of person that Deshaun Watson is, and I don't like to publicly comment until I get all the facts. But he has a great reputation here in the Houston area. I mean, I don't understand. And it goes on to say, and the allegations are really inconsistent with the kind of person that he is. How can you make a statement like that? How can you defend him to that extent? I mean, you could be the greatest guy in the world, but it doesn't mean, and I'm not saying he's done anything wrong, by the way, but it doesn't mean that he definitively hasn't done something wrong.
No, I mean, generally speaking, I mean, this wouldn't be the first time that we've seen someone that was, everyone had nothing but nice things to say about, was a really good guy as far as people knew, had, you know, something bad come out about them, or they did something that was, I mean, the Bob Kraft situation. I mean, I haven't heard anyone say a bad word about Bob Kraft.
No, he's supposed to be a wonderful guy.
So, again, and this is one of those situations where I get it, you want to connect the dots and everything else. And the timing of it and everything, the fact that, you know, Deshaun Watson was actually the one that sent out a social media post about it that kind of brought everyone's attention to it. So I guess, I mean, initially your knee-jerk reaction would be, well, if he's bringing this to everyone's attention, then he's pretty comfortable that he didn't do anything. But again, you're talking about, you know, two lawsuits that have been filed, and apparently there's a total of six against him.
I mean, listen, again, I don't want to take a side, but six is a lot, if that in fact is true. Now, the second lawsuit alleges that Watson booked a massage with a masseuse over Instagram, flew her to Houston from Atlanta when she arrived at the hotel where the massage was scheduled to take place. The suit said Watson was nude on a massage table and refused to cover himself with a towel despite several requests. It also said he inappropriately touched the woman. So it's certainly a troubling story and something we'll have to keep an eye on. Now, Adam Schefter was on SportsCenter, and here's what he had to say about other teams still having an interest in Deshaun Watson.
Listen, I think everybody's paying attention to it, Steve, and there's serious charges, and I think everybody wants some answers, and the Texans themselves said they will have no further comment until there's more information. I think everybody wants more information, but I don't believe, as it currently stands, that it dampens the enthusiasm around the league to go land Deshaun Watson. I spoke to one team tonight that could consider to be in the Deshaun Watson market, and while they're curious about the charges and they would like more information, they remain interested in Deshaun Watson, and I don't expect that to change. And before teams are dissuaded from being interested in him, they'd have to hear something that would have to change their minds here.
So I guess they're not at that point yet. Now,
I don't know how you couldn't be concerned at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. I haven't seen the six, but you say you've seen that there are up to six women that have had these allegations against him?
Yeah, I'm reading the report right now.
Big number.
Yeah, the update is Tony Busby, who's the lawyer representing both of these women,
right?
Said Wednesday that there are now six total cases against Watson, although only two lawsuits have been filed so far.
Yeah, I think you have to be. I don't know how you can't be about this story.
Like, I don't know how you couldn't be. Like, he's great. I get it. I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's 25 years old. That's all great. But I mean, to sit here and say, like, you're not at all concerned about this story and what could potentially happen to Deshaun Watson. I mean, I think that's a bit foolish.
I think you're burying your head in the sand if that's the tack that you take. Now, that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Is it John McClain? That's the name of the reporter who's been covering the Texans forever, and he's a legendary reporter down in Houston. He has said almost the entire way he doesn't think that Watson will get dealt. He does not believe that. Yesterday was the first time he came out and said they're going to trade Deshaun Watson. I firmly believe that now. They're going to trade Deshaun Watson, and I'm telling you where I believe he's going to go. Where do you think that he's going to go if, in fact, he's traded?
Well, I saw where he wants to go yesterday. I mean, apparently where he wants to go is Denver or San Francisco.
But how does San Francisco have the ammunition to get Deshaun Watson?
They don't. It's not. I mean, that's where he would like to go.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that San Francisco can, I mean, A, has enough ammunition to go get him, or B, I mean, the amount of money they would need. I mean, what they're doing in free agent, I mean, signing their own players, they got a bunch of guys that are going to come up they're going to have to pay big money to.
Right.
So they're probably looking to go, you know, cheaper, maybe draft a quarterback. I will say,
I know where he's going to go.
I know you. I know exactly where you're going to say.
Where am I going to say?
Let's see if we're in tune today.
Go ahead.
You think he's going to Carolina?
I think he's going to Carolina.
And that would make sense. But again, he's got a no trade.
I understand. But you can see what they're building down there. The head coach is respected by everybody around the league. The owner is, I mean, you talk about going from where you are to where you'd be going to. The owner is as good as it gets, seemingly. I think that he would fit in beautifully in Carolina.
I don't disagree with you, and I'd be happy as a Jets fan. The last thing I want him is...
rid of him, right?
Yeah, I don't want him in New England, and I don't want him in Miami. That would be a nightmare.
Terrible for you.
Awful. Especially with what the Patriots have done in free agency now. And Miami's coming, and you got Buffalo, who's one of the best
teams
in the
AFC Championship game, for God's sake.
You see who they just signed to?
Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, that's great.
Did you see that Gronk said he realistically considered Buffalo?
Oh, he's from Buffalo.
Yep.
Yeah, but you can't. I mean, going from Tampa.
No, you can't leave. No. I mean, he says considered. He's never leaving Tom Brady.
No, I wouldn't imagine. No, not even Tom Brady. I mean, it's just, you know how much better you feel in that kind of weather every day?
Yeah, and that's a guy that needs it too, right?
Like, it was noticeable. When we go play down in, like, Tampa or Miami, we played Florida. I mean, just walking out of the hotel, how much better you'd feel.
Differently?
Your body just feels great.
Really?
Oh, yeah, like that moist heat. Everything just feels good.
It's like a sauna down there, huh?
Oh, it's terrific.
Oh, sounds wonderful. Why are you laughing? Sounds sensational.
Let me ask you a question, though. So, you think it's Carolina.
I do.
Now, if it is true...
RJ, I'd like you to clip that little snippet, and Raymond, clip that little snippet. And when that happens, play it back so I'm the smartest guy then.
There's a couple different things here. I mean, we don't have time to get into both things, but we'll get into it in the next segment. But I want to ask you a question before we go to break.
Okay.
If you're a team like Miami, who third overall pick, still not sold on Tua, was one of the teams rumored to be really interested in Deshaun Watson, if he's crossed you off his list, and there's only two teams he wants to go to, like I said, Denver and San Francisco, Do you now have to pivot and consider trying to make a run at Russell Wilson?
All right, so that's the first question. Was there a second question?
Well, no, there wasn't really a second question. It was more of a second point that was more related to the Deshaun Watson.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So why don't you revisit your question? I've been thinking about it. Go ahead and ask it for everyone to hear again.
So if you're the Miami Dolphins, do you now, I mean, seeing what, I mean, what was reported that the Bears offered Seattle, right? And I think Seattle, I mean, if they're going to trade Russell Wilson, what do we do at the quarterback position? So, I mean, if it's now Miami, you have the third overall pick, which you could draft a quarterback. I mean, I don't know how much you like Tua, but that would solve your whole quarterback issue if you trade Russell Wilson. If you're Miami now, and Deshaun Watson isn't a team, in Miami is not a team that Deshaun Watson would consider, would you pivot to try to get Russell Wilson if you're Miami?
100%. I mean, unequivocally. You tell me, if you're Miami... And you add Russell Wilson, where are you in the landscape of the AFC right away? Before you even add receivers or the additional running back or go anything through the draft, where are you right now?
I think it puts you right there at the top of the AFC East.
Yeah, Okay. At a minimum, you're probably at the top of the AFC East.
Yeah, at a minimum.
Could you argue that that's the second best team in the AFC?
The second best team in the AFC?
Are they a clear, surefire playoff team?
No, they're absolutely a playoff team.
I mean, this is a guy that
they should have been a playoff team last year.
He's what, 31?
32.
32? So I'm looking at, I mean, what do you think it's fair to say at this point that like the career longevity of these guys is now? And he said he wants to play into his 40s, but you got to say at least 38, right?
Yeah, I would say, I would even go as far to say closer to
39?
40. I would say 40. I would put it at
40? 40. So I can get 8 years of Russell Wilson at high level? Oh, my. In a heartbeat, I would do that.
But here's the thing, though, too, with Miami. And I understand why, you know, a Jets fan wouldn't be interested because he is 32, and you may have to, you know, as you're trying to build this team up, waste a year or two, you know, getting yourself ready to be a team that could compete. But Miami is much further along than the Jets are right now.
Miami's right there.
Right there.
If you had Deshaun Watson and you had a legitimate receiver, could you imagine with Parker and another receiver?
Well, you got a good tight end. You got a really good defense.
Your defense is good. You're well coached. You're highly respected. Your special teams is good. You are right there. You can win this division.
Yeah, I think I would consider it if I was Miami. I don't know how sold they are on Tua.
Doesn't feel like they're completely sold on him. So play Seattle for a minute here, okay? You're Seattle.
Yeah, I'll play along.
I'll give you Tua. Now, obviously, they have to have interest in Tua. I will give you the third overall pick in this draft.
Okay.
What's their other pick? Is it 18? 17?
Yeah, they actually have. Yeah, but I mean, if their second first-round pick is better
right,
than the
which,
Jets'
which is theirs. I'll give you that. And what player interests you on my team? I'll give you a big player on my team as well. I'll give you three. I'll give you whatever to 17 or 18. I'll give you Tua. So, I mean, that's two picks in the top five. And I'm going to give you another first-round pick and a big player. It's got to move the needle, no?
No, it definitely moves the needle. I mean, if they seriously considered Chicago's offer and decided that they were going to keep Rose, I just don't know how Seattle would trade this year. Like, I think maybe next year they end up trading him. But this year, I mean, taking a $39 million dead cap hit.
I don't know how you ever trade him.
It's because I wouldn't want to trade him, but if he wants to go somewhere else for whatever reason, I mean, what good does it do you to keep him?
If I'm the Jets and I own Seattle's number one pick next year, I am desperate for him to get dealt right now. Could you imagine if they trade him and wind up winning six or seven games this season?
That would be great.
And you wind up with a top 10 pick?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, you whatever team Seattle's playing, you root for that team.
Oh, absolutely. Be my second favorite team. All right, spend your tax return wisely with Straight Talk Wireless. You can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for $199, plus get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense. Tune into Straight Talk. Before we get to the NFL calls, have you decided whether you're joining the college basketball pool or not?
No, I have not. I have not. Right now, I'm leaning towards
no. This is going to be an 11th hour decision, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, right now I'm leaning towards no.
So I'm in it, obviously.
Well, obviously, Canty, you're running.
Canty is in it. RJ is in it. Raymond, are you participating in this poll?
I'm probably not going to be able to keep up with everything that's going on.
Yeah, it's really complex, the college basketball. But all right, so there you have. So at least you have a partner in crime that won't do it as well.
He's got, like, give the guy a break, would you? You've been on him the entire week.
What did I do to Ray?
Well, he's got Rangers. He's got Nick. I mean, he's got so much going on, and you always like you can't wait to criticize.
What he does, by the way, though, if there is a meme thrown out there which has a negative connotation to the Giants, you don't have to look past Raymond Santiago's.
What are you talking about now?
I mean, last night he's got memes of Jason Garrett dressed in Cowboys gear ruining the Giants. Like you are evil.
You do understand.
Well, he was
you do understand that I was standing up for Jason Garrett in that case.
Yeah, he was destroying your quarterback.
Well, okay.
Because people were saying, oh, Kenny Galladay's coming, and the only thing that can hold the Giants' offense back now is Jason Garrett, as if the fact that the quarterback threw 11 touchdowns last year is you know, has nothing to do with the offense struggling.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. If there's a shot to be taken, you will take it.
I was quiet. I had nothing to do with this conversation. You decided to bring me in, and now
I'm
fired up.
Your presence known.
He's the NFC East troll. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
If you just leave well enough alone, these things don't happen.
Well, why would I?
You
why
bring
would
it
I
on
allow
yourself.
You to take broad shots at the Giants and the organization, and me just to sit back and allow that to happen.
I'm not taking broad shots at the organization.
Oh, please.
The quarterback is not good.
You can definitively say that the quarterback is not good.
Can you not?
No, I wouldn't say that. No, absolutely not. I think it's fair to say it's unknown, but you'd know right now that Daniel Jones is not and will not be a good quarterback.
Is 11 touchdowns good?
Oh, my God. Can you just answer the question?
Is 11 touchdowns good? Answer that question.
Was he pretty darn good in year one?
He was okay in year one.
Oh, come. You know what? You're such an apologist. It's disgusting. Really.
The one who's being the apologist right now is not me. I'm not the one saying 11 touchdowns is okay.
Who is more fair when it comes to analyzing the Giants than, in fact, I am?
Who's more fair than you?
Yes.
Wow.
How much time you got?
Yeah, I mean, I would say you're right up there as being a realistic.
Can you definitively tell me that Daniel Jones is not a good quarterback like Raymond is saying?
No, I can't definitively tell you.
Exactly, and that's my whole point. But apparently Ray knows.
I said the quarterback was not good.
At the moment, he was not good. Quarterback is good. He didn't think he. Listen, if you ask Santiago, he doesn't think that Eli Manning was good.
Well, don't you lose all credibility if you say that Eli Manning wasn't good?
I said Eli Manning was fine.
No, was fine. You're the same guy that whenever we bring up Eli Manning, you start sending me Blake Bortles stats.
Well, the numbers were very comparable with Blake Bortles for a time.
Do you believe that Dak Prescott is better than Eli Manning?
Of course not. He doesn't have the longevity that does. Ask me again when he plays the same amount of years that Eli Manning put in.
Do you believe that Tony Romo was better than Eli Manning?
You know what I feel about that.
Just a yes or no.
You know how I feel about that.
I won't even react to it. Just a yes or no and I'll take a call.
Okay. The answer is yes.
I could sit and listen to you two all day long. I would.
I don't know how you live with yourself.
Listen, can we do me one favor this season?
Yeah.
Please, just one favor. Can we have a Zoom call during the Cowboys Giants game? Just one Cowboys Giants game.
Zero chance.
I just want you on screen. I won't talk to you. I just want to see both of you on screen.
Zero chance.
That's selfish.
If you don't understand, you would get people paying a fee to watch me watch the Giants.
Nothing I can do.
This is what I'm saying, though. The listeners would love that. Get a chance to watch the game with you
alongside me.
Well, you
but
and Santiago
would go viral.
Back and
people
forth.
Would tape it. It would be held against me. It'd be horrendous.
No, it'd be fantastic. It would be amazing because now all of a sudden, too, you'd have Santiago trolling you the entire game, and you reacting to him trolling you the entire game. It would be awesome.
Be good for the show. I'll tell you that.
It'd be great for the show. Just like that other video that you have that you won't release.
No. Well, that's really awful. All right. Well, let's get to some of these calls. Let's go to Andrew in Manalapan. Andrew, you're next up on 98.7.
What's going on, fellas?
So, what's up, Andrew? How you doing?
Good. So I'm a disgruntled Jet fan like, you know, Rick and everybody else on the show, whatever. But my whole thing is that I feel like the Jets are not doing enough in free agency. I know they signed some guys, but wide receiver-wise, they had the worst wide receivers in the league last year. And the fact that there's not even talk about them making somebody like Galladay an offer really, really bothers me because I don't feel like Corey Davis is anything that great.
Well, they made their decision, though, Andrew. They made their decision. Corey Davis was the guy that they wanted.
No, I agree with that. That's what they did. But I always feel like they go for second-tier players with potential upside. But Corey Davis also has a lot of injury history. He hasn't really had a great track record of staying on the field.
I think the goal for Joe Douglas and this coaching staff was to identify a certain kind of player that had the character that would fit well into this Jets locker room. That was important to them. Also, age was important to them, and they made the decision because part of me agrees with you. Like Corey Davis has not lived up to expectations. Last year he was good.
But he was the fifth pick in the draft.
Well, exactly right. And last year he played his best football. And so did Lawson established himself and played his best football. Younger guys that they feel like their best football is ahead of them. And is it risky? Yeah, I mean, free agency is always risky. I mean, I was looking at a stat yesterday, which, I mean, and I get it. Everyone wants the shiny new toys and everything else. The Jets have a ton of money to spend. But, I mean, you're talking also about, listen to this. This is going to blow your mind, Dave. Since 2016, the most guaranteed money spent in free agency, number one is the Jets at $341 million. Number two is the Jaguars at 300 and $18 million.
Wow. And their records are got to be the worst in the NFL, right?
Worst records in the NFL since 2016. Jaguars are 31st, and the Jets are 32nd with a 23-57 record.
That is amazing.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Bobby Marks to give us a little analysis for what the Knicks may or may not do. Our NBA insider. Good morning, Bobby. How you doing?
I'm good. Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are well. So, interesting article you have up on ESPN.com about the Knicks and kind of the advantages in the situation that they sit in. Can you just kind of explain how the Knicks have this advantage right now as we approach the trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of consider them kind of in the pole position because they have, they're the only team that has $15 million in cap space, so they can go out and make the roster better, or they can kind of be in that buyer mode where they can add to their draft pick collection. They've got a ton of players on expiring contracts, but guys that actually help you with Alec Burks and Nerlens Noel, Elfrid Payton, has been injured here. And you've got 9 draft picks over the next 7 years, including those two picks from Dallas. So you're kind of in that, it's an interesting spot because the goal should be, of course, to get into the playoffs. But I think where you are is that you are probably I call it a tier three team. You're not in that Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Milwaukee category. And I don't think you're even probably in where more Miami or maybe Boston are. You're in that next level here. So you've got a lot of different options to kind of try to figure out in the next week. And then you're also sitting on, potentially $45, $50 million in cap space this offseason. So is there a deal out there that can make you better right now with some of that cap space this year, but, diminishes a little bit of your flexibility next year? I'm more in the notion of, I guess, more of the conservative approach. I don't think that, as I say, the cake is quite baked yet with this team here. I think it's a great story where they are right now and how they're playing here. But I think there will be a deal down the road at, we don't know when you are going to need more of this cap space and those draft picks to use to really make this roster better.
Yeah, but Bobby, I mean, again, I understand what you're saying, and I would, I would agree. I mean, this team has overachieved. They're not quite ready yet to compete at the highest level, but I mean, knowing Thibs's mindset and how important winning is to him, yeah, don't you think it feels like they would probably lean towards maybe making a move to improve the team now just to try to make that late push and get these young kids that experience in the postseason?
Yeah, I do. I think when I always said that, and I hate when people say, well, you're a play-in team and, you'd rather just have a lottery pick. But I mean, look at what Phoenix was able to do last year, just in that bubble alone. And it's really, certainly getting Chris Paul in that trade has really helped them. But just to get that experience of playing, I call it meaningful minutes, playoff type minutes for your younger players that have never been there before. And I think the goal is should be to get into the playoffs somehow or in a play-in situation. So it's a fine line or a balancing act that you want to help the roster get a little bit better, but maybe there's a deal out there that you can maybe pick up a couple second round picks that will help you a year or two from now. And yeah, if you're Tom Thibodeau, you're not looking to sell off your bench to try to, get a 2024 second round pick. You're actually trying to make this roster better. And that's the relationship between him and Leon Rose. And that's, and when you have good relationships with your front office and your head coach, you'll be able to work through situations like that.
Bobby Marks, NBA insider with us here, 98.7 ESPN. The name that we've heard thrown out there, and this may be pipe dreamish, but I'll ask you anyway, is Bradley Beal. Is that something that could happen now before the deadline? Is that something more realistically that happens after the season, before the start of next year with the Knicks?
Yeah, I think that's more of realistically in the offseason. As far as I would be stunned if Bradley Beal woke up today or next week and says I want out of Washington. I think that's a decision that Beal is going to have to make when we get into, I guess, June or July. He'll be on technically an expiring contract, although he's got a player option for the following year. And for both sides, him and Washington, they've got to figure out if this is going to be the right fit going forward. Certainly, if you're the Wizards, yes, but as you guys know, players on expiring contract, all stars that do not make a long-term commitment, are usually moved somehow. And if you are New York, that comes back to you are sitting on, you know, you basically say pick your number. You've got all those draft picks, and we know how those superstar trades go. What Brooklyn had to give up for James Harden, with even what Milwaukee had to give up to get Drew Holiday. But New York will have the asset base of picks and players and cap space to absorb that contract if there is a deal to be made in the offseason and a player like Beal wants out.
Bobby, what would you do with Julius Randle? I mean, he turned himself into an all-star from where he was last year to what he turned himself in this year. I mean, it's a testament to him and the coaching staff challenging him. But, I mean, do you look at him as a you know, foundational piece for the Knicks moving forward?
I do. I don't think he's a franchise, you know, level top five, top six player. But, man, has he turned – and it's – you always want to kind of doubt yourself. But the more you watch him play, I feel like he's kind of gotten better. And that's pretty remarkable because he's been good all year. And, you know, he's going into the last year of his contract. You know, certainly that guaranteed, there's a small portion of it guaranteed, but that will certainly get picked up. I would offer him an extension right off the bat when you can in the off season. And the likelihood is that he probably turns it down because it'll be 4 years, $106 million, but you never know. I mean, if someone offers you $100+ million, it's something that you certainly have to think about. But yeah, I think he is somebody that, you know, along with RJ, is somebody that I do want to build around because he fits what Tom is doing perfectly. And I know the knock on him was generally defensively, but he's played well on both ends of the court and he wants to be here. You know, he earned that all-star spot. It wasn't something that was just given to him.
So if Bradley Beal is not realistic now, give us a couple names that you could realistically see the Knicks acquiring by next Thursday.
Well, it's going to be interesting what happens in Cleveland with Andre Drummond, right? I mean, he's the name that everybody is kind of, penciled as far as the next to go. It's hard for me to, even with New York with the cap space, to kind of cobble together a type of deal. I mean, if I was New York, I would probably be waiting more for if he's in a buyout candidate. But you do have Mitchell Robinson coming back. So do you really need Drummond right now, maybe in the offseason? That's a guy you circle. What happens in Indiana, I mean, in Houston with Victor Oladipo is interesting to me. And I think if I'm New York, I'd be a little bit interested in Oladipo, and I'm not giving away the farm, but if it costs me a future first that maybe we can put lottery protection on it and it gives you another scorer and people out there say, wait a minute, Oladipo is a free agent. You could just sign him with cap space. But, yeah, you get him for 2 or 3 months of the season and you get him in that lineup for a push to get into the playoffs. He struggled a little bit in Houston coming back from that injury that he suffered in Indiana, but he's still a guy that can go out and give you 20 points a game. And I think when you watch that Philly game the other night where, you know, they struggled in that fourth quarter, they just had a hard time, you know, guys being able to create their own shot if it wasn't, you know, RJ or maybe even Julius. You know, Burks missed a bunch of threes in the corner here. And if you can get a guy like Victor Oladipo on the cheap, similar to what Cleveland did last year with Andre Drummond, I think that's a guy that I would probably circle if I was the Knicks.
Bobby Marks joins us here on the show. Bobby, and Dave and I have been going back and forth, and I get it. I mean, he's a rookie. It takes some time. He came off a calf injury, but Obi Toppin so far, should we start to be a little bit concerned with what we're seeing?
No, I wouldn't. I've kind of thrown this year out for all these rookies. I know there's been good things that have happened in Charlotte with LaMelo, and certainly Anthony Edwards has played well in Minnesota, and Wiseman has had some good moments in Golden State. But I mean, this year, based on no summer league, no basically a 2 week condensed training camp, these guys have been locked up in a room or a hotel or the quarantine protocols here that the rookies are at a huge disadvantage here. And I never want to give up on rookies, especially players that are picked in the top eight, top nine here. So no, I mean, if we're in year three and we're in the same situation, then yeah, I would certainly be a little bit concerned, but I want to see him with a full off season in New York and then kind of figure out where to use him. But, you know, you talk to people close to that organization, he was their number one guy they circled on their draft board. And, you know, they're not going to give up on him right now just because it's not been a great rookie season on the court. And, you know, certainly, as you mentioned, suffered that injury.
All right, last two for me. P.J. Tucker being traded to Milwaukee. How do you feel about that? And Davis said this, and I give him credit because he's all in with this. He says, if healthy, and it's not really a stretch because that's what Dave does. He makes these statements that really
stop belittling me with apparently what was a very
so Dave
point.
Said it's Brooklyn. They're healthy. Brooklyn's definitely going to the NBA Finals. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, for the Brooklyn question, I do. I think they've won like 16 of 17 and without Kevin Durant. And, you know, last night you saw the greatness of James Harden. It's funny, people always said that, you know, maybe their depth isn't that great. But when you look at it, if they're healthy, I mean, they can go 12 deep when you've got Blake coming off the bench and you got Bruce Brown and Jeff Green has played well. So I do believe it because I think they probably one of the more talented teams offensively we've seen in a while, and they get stops when they need it. And that's probably the most important thing. So yeah, I do think I would put them kind of in that pecking order as number one in the East and to get to an NBA finals here. And I love the PJ Tucker trade from Milwaukee just because I've said all along, I'm a big PJ Tucker fan. I love guys who can stay on the court, who are durable. He's missed, you know, five games in like 8 or 9 years. And we all thought that Milwaukee was kind of hard capped, couldn't make any deals. They kind of proved us all wrong, where they were able to maneuver some of their, you know, future first round picks with the Rockets, and it gives them an upgrade immediately, and you can use them in a lot of different lineups there. So I really do like what they were able to do.
Bobby, we appreciate it. Thanks for waking up early with us, and hopefully we'll talk to you very soon with the trade deadline quickly approaching. Good stuff. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it as well. That, of course, Bobby Marks. Why do you have to do that? Why do you have to ask a question and take shots at me mid-question?
Because it's fun. I mean, why would you take shots at me all the time?
It feels very unnecessary, no?
You've played my open every single day since last Thursday.
I understand, but not to a guest.
They did a promo on it.
Well,
I had to
funny
listen to that. I'm going to get into today. I'm in the car driving with Cassie and the kids, and you played. I hear that. Wait, it's a promo.
Yes or no? Cassie has been riding you mercilessly about that.
In more than one way, yes.
Yeah, I know. I knew when I said that was going to be.
I got some sexy undies.
No, she does it every single day now. Every time she asks me a question, it's the Wednesday, it's the Thursday,
that's
it's
right.
The Friday.
That's
good
right.
Thursday morning. She asked the same question you asked, too, when she heard it. She's like, why is there so much pause in between the words that you're saying?
It's three-word bursts.
Yeah, I said I would.
All right, here we go.
I was like, you don't understand. I was drowning. I was trying to waste as much time as humanly possible. She's like, you have that little confidence in yourself? I was like,
you
yeah,
for
I do.
12
That's correct.
Seconds.
That's correct. That was the longest 12 seconds of my life.
I'm sure it was. All right, this Hoops update brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. This March, crack open a Truly Hard Seltzer and stay refreshed while you enjoy your favorite March basketball team in action with the official hard seltzer of the Big East Conference. Truly Hard Seltzer. Enjoy responsibly. It all starts today. It's the play-in games, but it all starts today. 5-10 Texas Southern and Mount St. Mary's. 6-27 The Drake against Wichita State. 8-40 Appalachian State and Norfolk State. And the best matchup of the day, 9-57. I will be fast asleep as Michigan State takes on UCLA. So there you have it, the College Hoops update. Without any further ado, it's now time for a little Knobservation.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. Another genius point by you.
And these are his Knobservations.
We could have called it Rick's Observations, but, you know, it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then Knob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
All right, here we go, fellas. Little Knobservations on the Thursday, not the Wednesday. This is the Thursday.
Very accurate.
We will start with this, and I want to give you guys credit. I mean, everyone's involved in today's Knobservations. I got Dave sending me stories. I got RJ sending me stories. We'll start with this first Knobservation from one RJ Santillo sent me this. The Indianapolis Colts trade with the Philadelphia Eagles of Carson Wentz becomes official. They will be doing a Zoom news conference with Carson Wentz today. However, they won't be taking any questions from Philly media.
Wait, they have banned the Philly media?
The Philly media will not be allowed to ask questions in the Zoom press conference.
How do you allow that to happen?
It's their Zoom press conference. I get to do whatever they want.
Oh, come on. That is really weak.
I'm not disagreeing. That's why it's on Knobservations.
Wow. You talk about thin skin. That is brutal from Indy.
Yeah, I've been on teams where we had a reply. Like, we had a reporter that no one liked that was first iced out. Whenever he walked in, no one would talk to him. And then at one point got to where they took his credential away from him.
Really?
And, oh, yeah, and didn't allow him in.
Now, how about this? You get a credential, you're a Philly journalist, but you get a credential via another city for a day, like a visiting credential kind of thing. And
yeah,
then
but
you
they
pop on
know.
And you ask that
but
question.
You don't think that Carson Wentz is going to know every single Philadelphia
member? So you think he's going to call them out? Be like, I know that guy, he's evil. Come on.
Well, no,
the
I think
questions.
The guy, I'm sure their PR person would do it.
It's such a weak-minded thing. If a question is asked that is completely below board, I get being bothered by that. But a fair journalistic question from someone from Philadelphia, that should be allowed.
Oh, I don't disagree with you. You're
that's
right.
Terrible.
But clearly, I mean, this is not something he wants to deal with. Here's another little observation for today. DeAndre Hopkins on Twitter. You're going to love this because I still don't know how.
Who's he recruiting now?
No, he's not recruiting. I know you like what Arizona's been doing. He tweets, I'm thankful for the Arizona Cardinals believing me in enough to trade for me for a second rounder.
Did you just say believing me in enough?
Yeah, I read it wrong. Uh-huh. I am thankful for the Arizona Cardinals believing in me enough to trade me for a second rounder. Taking a shot at the Houston Texans.
Oh, I know. I think everyone's going to be taking shots at Houston. If I can get that as a drop, believing me in enough.
Yeah, we
great.
Will. How do you not get a first rounder for DeAndre Hopkins?
It'll never make sense. You did for Diggs, and you didn't for Hopkins.
It makes absolutely no sense to me.
None.
All right, here we go. Next up on today's Nobservations, let's listen to Giannis Antetokounmpo during one of his Zoom press conferences.
Hey, Giannis, I'm not going to lie. I was a little surprised to see you not with a cheesesteak, given what the last week has been.
Somebody like. Grab me one, please. Hey, give me the steak one with the mushroom and cheese, American cheese, please.
In Philly, they call that whiz wit.
Give me this is the whiz whiz? I got the whiz whiz. Whiz wit? That doesn't sound right to me, though. Whiz wit?
Whiz
wit. Okay. That doesn't sound right to me. That sounds like it's kind of shaky, you know what I'm saying? But okay.
That was funny. He's very likable.
I don't know how you can't like him. I have not. He's. And plus, he's. I mean, he's an amazing basketball player. And he's. I mean, his personality. I mean,
he's very likable.
He's got a great
smile. And he sounded like you with the Hopkins story. The wheeze wheat.
Oh, you're such a bad guy. It's amazing.
Wheeze
wheat. What a bad guy you are. So this next one isn't even. This isn't an observation. This is just, you know, being someone that spent time in Boston. Our favorite day of the year, especially when I went to BU, was Marathon Monday. You had the Red Sox play at 11 a.m.,
right? Yeah.
And then you'd have the marathon. It was, I mean, city shut down. We're having case races and everything else. But so I thought, I was watching SVP this morning, and he did a really good story on Dick Hoyt, who unfortunately passed away in his sleep, 80 years old. He actually was, and he's a legend in Boston. So he ran the Boston Marathon pushing his son in a wheelchair 32 times. So the son has cerebral palsy. They actually started on a 5K race. They got finished doing the race, and his son said to him, you know, when we're running, I don't feel like I'm handicapped. And that's where it started. And, I mean, they're doing, I mean, Ironmans. So SVP did a one big thing on him last night, and here's what he had to say.
Any parent understands the depths of love that connects you to your child, but to what lengths would you go? Rick Hoyt has cerebral palsy, so his dad, Dick, made a special wheelchair for him, and they ran a 5-mile fundraising race in the late 70s. Story goes, he told his father, Dad, when I'm running, it feels like I'm not handicapped. So they kept running, and they went further. They ran races, more than 1,000. They did Ironmans. They did marathons, including Boston, 32 times. A buddy grew up in Ashland, Mass. On the race route. He said you knew when they were coming from the roars. The last roars were in 2014 when Dad was 72. That one took more than 7.5 hours. Their best time together in Boston was 2:48:51. Can you fathom that? That's an amazing time for anyone, let alone someone pushing another adult human for more than 26 miles. Dick died today at the age of 80, and I felt profoundly humbled when considering the devotion this man had shown his son. It moved me sincerely. That 5-mile fundraiser that they ran back in 77, they finished second to last. Now there's a statue near the starting line of the Boston Marathon to honor the men who competed there together for decades. I thought of the Bible verse from 2 Timothy. I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. It kind of restores your faith to be reminded of these men who finished the race together more than 1,000 times. A father pushing his son so that he might not feel handicapped.
Wow.
It's an amazing story, man.
It is. It's amazing. Now, I had known this story. I think most people know it, but they did a full segment story on this on Real Sports in the last couple of years. Maybe it's even longer than that ago. And I just remember being moved by it then. So this is a tough story because you saw the bond between these two. And isn't that exactly, as a parent, what you're looking to do? Whatever your kids say makes them happy or makes them feel special is what you're willing to do. And he took it to all the way as far as he could. So it is a sad day, but I think in some way you celebrate him and them as well.
No, exactly right. I mean, you have to celebrate him. What he did for his son, and every parent, what you're pretty much willing to do anything it takes to make your kids happy. And I mean, for him to 32 Boston marathons pushing another human being.
It's amazing. It really is.
It's incredible. All right, finish this thing off. Let's do Did It Happen in Florida?
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did It Happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
A man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
All right, here we go. Dave, I mean, you did send me a story for Did It Happen in Florida.
You know, I went out on a limb because last time I sent you a story, you yelled at me, if you remember correctly.
Well, why did I yell? I didn't yell.
Well, you're like, everyone has sent me the story. You think I didn't see the story? And I saw another one. I was like, you know what? Whether he's seen it or not, I'm big enough to admit that I'm going to send him another. So I did, and I'm glad you were pleased with this one.
No, it's a great story, but I'm not going to use it.
What do you mean you're not going to use it?
Well, because you already know. You sent me the story. You know if it happened in Florida.
Well, you
can
ask RJ and or Ray.
Well, this I'm going to save it.
All right.
I will use that story, but I just so happen to have another story. We don't have much time. This is a quicker story.
All right.
So here we go. I want RJ and Ray to play along.
Okay.
A pantless 47-year-old man was arrested yesterday after police spotted him naked on his back in front of a townhouse with himself in one hand and an uneaten pickle in the other.
With a pickle? Oh my god. I don't know why, but I will say not Florida.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my god.
Santee, Florida.
Was it a gherkin?
No, it was a deli pickle. Large, uneaten pickle.
Maybe I'm overthinking this. I just feel like you say townhouses. I don't think of townhouses in Florida, so I'll say not Florida.
RJ Santillo, did it happen in Florida?
See, I want to say Florida. You say nudity, pickles. I go Florida, but Santiago's very good at this, so I'm going to follow him and say not Florida.
Go with your instincts. This happened in Florida. This was an Oldsmar.
Never
City
heard
in
of
the
that.
Tampa Bay. It's around Tampa.
Oh goodness!
I love this story. This could be one of my favorite. I was sent the story by one of our listeners. Terrific
story. A pickle in the other hand, huh?
a large uneaten pickle.
I'm Pickle Rick.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.